All right. Hey, as we dive in, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. You're going to start practicing rounding the bases. I like to call them speed dates. You're going to go on a speed date with each other. And so if you'd like to open up your study guides to page 36 and 37, we're going to bounce around a little bit topically. Page 36 and 37, the title to this segment is called Faith and Values. Faith and Values. As people are still filling in, a couple quick mentions. At my product table back here, I've got a couple things for you, should you want them. One is called date night cards. Spice up your date night. You've been married for a while. You go on a date, maybe, and you find yourselves always talking about the same two things. What are they? Yell them out. Kids, money, work. And so we created these date night cards. There are 52 cards. It's not a game. There are four questions on each card, and the deal is you use the cards to navigate conversation. And some are funny, some are serious, some are past, future, dreams. Like, here's one. What form of animal would you describe your mother-in-law? Go. There's some landmines in there. All right. As you guys are finding your seats, again, page 36 and 37. We're going to talk about your faith. We're going to talk about your walk with God. I never want to assume that everyone in this room is born again. I don't want to assume that. And so in this segment, I want to talk to you about your faith in Jesus. I want to talk about whether you're a new believer, a seasoned believer, a not yet believer. Wow, that was from the Holy Spirit. All right. Again, page 36 and 37. Let's start at the top. I want to talk about three key elements with your faith. Number one, filling in the blank, choose to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Choose to believe. Choose to believe. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure if you're saved, we're going to talk about it. I actually asked this question to a friend of mine a couple years ago. I said, do you know what the Bible says on how to get saved? And he said, no. And I said, are you saved? Are you a Christian? He said, I think so. I said, how do you know? And he said, well, a few months ago in the middle of the night, I had this weird feeling come over me, and I think it was God, and I think that's how I got saved. Could have been bad pizza. And so I said to him, I read to him this verse, and let's look at it, Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
And I'll add a couple quick things here to it. But what I want to do right now is I want all of us to bow our heads, just all of us right now. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and everyone has taken a moment, if you're here this morning and you're not sure, I want you to follow along with me in this prayer. If you're not sure, so say these words, whisper these words, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and you died on the cross for my sins. I repent and ask you to come into my heart and make me what you want me to be. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's it. It's simple. The Bible refers to this in many different places. And if somebody says to you, how do you know that you know that you know? Did you declare with your mouth and did you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the only way? There is no other way. There's no other path. You can believe in God, but if you don't believe in Jesus, he is the way to God. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And listen, our culture today, they're going to challenge you. You better put on your seatbelt because the next 30 years is going to be whitewater rafting without an oar. And thank God I don't need an oar because the Holy Spirit's going to direct my raft. But I'm telling you, it's going to get so crazy in the next 30 years with doctrine. Stand firm. Do not waver. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, letter for letter, walk away. Number two, choose to follow his ways. Here's my problem. A lot of us get saved, and that's where it ends. I'm a Christian. I did the prayer. And I want you to know that following Jesus, following his ways, here it is, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Effort, time, energy, prayer, thought, money. Following Jesus is going to cost you something, or it should. Follow him. Follow him. Follow his ways. What are his ways? We're in a culture now that I think that we have a lot of illiterate Christians, a lot of Christians that just are, they're illiterate. They're, you know, your knowledge of the Bible should far extend what goes on Sunday for 30 minutes. What are his ways? Do you believe what you believe because of what you've read? Or do you believe what you believe because some guy said it to you from a pulpit? My father, my hero, times 10, the greatest biblical man that I'll ever know on this earth, poured into me as a child in ways you can't even imagine. But when I hit 23, 24, I wanted it to be my own. So I started studying and reading. I want my faith to be my own. Not my dad's. Not Pastor Rick, as much as I love and respect him. Follow him. It says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. It is used, scripture, it is used for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and here it is, training up in righteousness. So that the servant of God, all of us, might be equipped. Equip yourself. Put on the armor. Put on the tools of God. Follow him. Equip yourself. For what? For work. For all the stuff you're going to face in the future. For social media's impact on you. When people come to you with false teaching and false thought, you are ready to stand firm because of what you've read and what you've studied. Because my pastor and my church, he's just a man. He's imperfect. He's good-willed. But I want to dive in myself. And if you want to go a step further, start journaling when you read the Bible. Journal. Meaning write down thoughts. Write down wow moments. Write down, there's sometimes I'll write down, wow, that's weird. In Scripture, there's a lot of mystery that I won't know fully until I go to heaven. Why did God do this or why did God not do that? And I journal. And research shows you remember like 80% more of what you write down than what you read. So I like to journal. And it becomes personal. And I want to follow his ways. Number three is to share his truths. Your gospel is not meant to stay within your silo. Share it. And I'm going to preach on this tomorrow in a very, very heavy message where your marriage is more than a marriage. It is a platform. It is a ministry. It is a calling. It is an anointing. Your marriage is a platform, and it is an Ivy League college level, and you're the professor, and the students are your children. Share it. Man, I get frustrated at this one. I can't tell you how many dads that I meet with and I counsel, and their teenage kids don't go to church, and their dads are silent, their dads are quiet, their dads are passive. I said to a good friend of mine, why aren't your teenage boys in church? Well, they don't want to go. Why do they even have an option? You're the dad. In Matthew 28:18, it says, then Jesus came to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always and to the very end of age. This is the Great Commission. This is a great command. This is a launching pad that he's speaking to the disciples. But it's not limited to the disciples. It's not limited to your pastors. God wants all of us to be agents for him. Warriors, if you will. A warrior. You are a warrior. We could have called this conference this weekend Warrior Within. A female warrior. A male warrior. Believe. Follow, share. I don't know that outside of your salvation that there's going to be anything more important that you're going to do on this side of the cross than to share the gospel. Outside of your own salvation, I don't know. Marriage is awesome. I love Pam, but I don't know if there's anything going to be more important than you sharing the gospel to the lost. Start with your children because they're not born Christians. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, more than a marriage. What I want to do now is I want you to fill out this little questionnaire on page 37, okay? And I want you to answer agree or disagree. And then I want you to circle any one of the answers or any one of the questions that you didn't answer in a way that lined up with the third column. And so what we're looking for is a question here or a statement that you would disagree with, the desired response, and that's an indicator that there's a place in your relationship that can grow, that needs attention, okay? And then you're going to turn the page, let's do that with me real quick, to 38, and you're going to go on your little speed date sitting right there at your seat, and you're going to round the bases with the issues that you circle, the areas of concern. And you're going to go to first base. You're going to talk about the issue. Second base, what are the facts? What's going on in your life, in your heart, in your marriage on that one issue? Third base, what is it you want to do different? Articulate, wives, this is your platform. Articulate kindly and gently with your husband. This is what I'd like to see. Or husbands, articulate, this is what I'd like to see. Third base. Then you're going to negotiate. And you're going to score, and you're going to come up with a very articulate solution. And you're going to write that down on page 39 in the open area. This is probably by far the most important part of the seminar this weekend. It has nothing to do with I say, with what I've said, or with what pastors have said. It's what you are going to do about it. And this is going to be what your speed date looks like. I got a little map here on the bottom of page 38. If you kind of get lost in rounding the bases, maybe you can start by sharing one thing that you love and respect about your partner regarding their faith walk. First base, grab your issue. Second base, share with your partner why you answered that way. Third base, what specifically would you like to see different regarding your faith walk? And then once you agree, you score and you write it down. And high five each other, by the way. Have fun with this. Score, we did it. And then go on to the next issue. You're going to do this for about 10 minutes. And so here it is. Your speed date begins now. Raise your hand if you get stuck or you have questions. All right, folks, if you want to give me your attention, we're going to move on to the next segment. A couple quick things. It's your first little experience of rounding the bases. It might seem clunky at first, but it becomes second nature. So a couple quick things. When you round the bases, it doesn't matter if only one of you think it's an issue. If only one of you thinks it's an issue, it needs to go around the bases with both of you. If Pam has an issue with something and I don't agree that it's even an issue, it doesn't matter. If it's an issue for her, it's an issue for our marriage. To the degree that my wife is hurting is to the same degree that I need to respond. We don't have to even agree on our view of the issue. I'll say this again. If it's an issue for one of us, it's an issue for both of us because it's going to affect our marriage. And so I'm going to round the bases with her. And it doesn't matter who starts or who ends, but you're going to get to third base. Remember on third base to use the phrase, it would mean a lot to me if you would fill in the blank. Then with humility, you negotiate, You come to agreement, you high five. Also, in the back of each segment, there are homework ideas, and every segment, homework, more study, more scriptures, if you want to go home and expound upon this. And we don't have time today to go deep into all of this with you because we don't have time. The idea is you go home and you finish this course at your own pace as a devotion in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. And you have my online videos to help you, and you now know the process. With that being said, we're going to dive into the next segment on page 22 and 23 called Friends and Hobbies, Family and In-Laws. Friends, hobbies, family, and in-laws. How many of you, what would happen if your children went to school? Let's say your child was 7, 8, 9, 10, and their teacher said, I want you to do a book report on your family at home. And you're going to stand up in front of the class, and you're going to tell the whole class about your family. What would your child say? And what would they do? Watch this video.
Michael, it's your turn.
We go after this.
The angry family. Daddy was mad at the mommy. The mommy was mad at the daddy. The mommy and daddy were very mad at the grandpa. The grandma got mad at everybody.
I did not.
It's wonderful.
The grown-ups were always very loud. It hurt the kids' ears. The end.
Let's dive in. I want to talk to you about your friends. We're going to start with your friends. And if you're a seasoned Christian, this is going to be a cakewalk for you because you've already probably done a great job. But I'll say this regarding your future. If you want to know what your future is going to look like, take a look at the closest friends you've chosen and whatever their life looks like morally. Is probably what your future looks like. And this is a real major problem in marriage counseling. As a matter of fact, the last 20 years of me diving into broken marriages, this is what almost always happens. I'm in a wrestling match, not between me and that couple, but between me and that couple's closest friends. So let me explain. I want you to know that all of us in the room have what I call first-tier friends and second-tier friends. First-tier friends are the friend that you're going to call when something great happens or when something horrible happens. Who's that first call going to go to? And that friend could be your mother, your sister. It might be a relative. That friend, it could very well be a relative, but it also could be just a friend. And I'm going to ask you three questions about your friend, that first tier, that first phone call. And I'm also going to talk to men because I have two issues with that. One is I want to talk about who that friend is that you have, or what I see is a lot of men have no one. I'm a lone ranger. And I want to tell you this morning that God didn't design us to thrive as lone rangers. It's not biblical. Almost every man you see in the Bible that's strongly used by God had a wingman. David had Jonathan. Saul had Samuel, and if you look closely, he quit listening to Samuel, his wingman, and literally all hell broke loose in his life. Moses had Aaron, disciples had each other, and the list goes on and on and on. So I got three questions about your friends. Number one, whoever it is that you hooked your wagon to, as a matter of fact, let me go back to these two scriptures in your workbook, page 22. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, and the way of the wicked leads all of us astray. And then the next Proverbs verse says, walk with the wise to become wise. And this is a major problem in marriage and in family. Who am I going to call? Who am I going to call? I'm upset with Pam. She's being disrespectful. Who am I going to call? I'm going to call a buddy. And I did early on. I called a buddy. His name was John. He was my best friend. We went and had lunch, and I laid out all my grievances against Pam. I'm like, man, my wife is blah, 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 blah. I turned to him. I want you to know something about your moral compass. Your moral compass, my moral compass, the compass by which I make major decisions, is often broken when I'm angry, hurt, and bitter. And so that phone call that I'm going to make, my compass now became their compass, or their compass became mine. Their moral compass, that first phone call, whatever it is they're going to say to me, that's going to be my direction, because my compass is broken. I'm so mad. So here I got three questions about your friend. Number one, do they know God? Do they love God? Do they know God? Are they walking with God? Is the Holy Spirit in them? If so, hallelujah, high five, good job. Because now their Holy Spirit compass becomes yours, and that's exactly how God designed it, for fellow brethren and sisters to come alongside each other. My second question is that person going to fight for your marriage? Or are they going to tell you to get out? Hey, you deserve better, get out. Which is the number one thing I'm hearing now when I'm helping a broken marriage, is that person's friend or sister or mother or family member, they're just telling me to get out. Or even, I'm hearing this a lot now from counselors. I've just lost track in the last month how many times I got an email from a marriage mentor that said, my counselor told me just to get divorced. Wrong. Fire that counselor. It's not God's design. Number three is that person in your first tier character driven? Man, are they going to fight for your marriage? Are they character driven? Do they know the Lord? Do you have a wingman that is driven by the Holy Spirit so that when you're broken and hurt, they're going to lift, they're going to carry your burdens. They're going to literally carry you through it. So I'm having lunch with John. I'm complaining about my wife. And John looks at me and he goes, Matt, shut up. If you think you can come here and rail on your wife, you can think again. God called you to be a man of love and patience and kindness. And he said, by the way, she's the best thing you're ever going to get anyway. True. That's a friend. He said, you get back in that marriage and you give it all that God has called you to give it. That's a friend. And I want you to do an assessment right now, and I want you to talk about your first tier friends. And if, A, you have people in that first tier that don't love the Lord and they're not going to fight for your marriage, demote them. Get them out of that first tier as of today. Kick them down to the second tier. I didn't say kick them out of your life. I didn't say that. But move them far enough away where their compass isn't yours. Second tier. Now, how do you do that? Don't call them up and tell them. Say, hey, Bob, I went to this conference and this Matt guy told me I'm demoting you to the second tier, Bob. Don't do that. I've had to demote quite a few people over the years. As I started to mature, I had to deal with this. So here's all I did. I just backed away carefully. They weren't my first phone call. I spent less time with them, and I spent less energy. I just carefully, it wasn't hardly noticeable. And then I found a godly man. Who's in your first year? Do you need to round the bases today? Wives, maybe you see what goes on with your husband and a couple guys that he spends time with, and I don't want you to nag him, I don't want you to throw arrows at him, but be nice and just say, honey, it would mean a lot to me if you would back off a little bit from that guy, and let's find somebody to put in that first tier. And you might be asking yourself, well, who do I put in that first tier? You want to know who? They're all in the room right here, right now. They're all right here. Make a phone call. Join a small group. Pam and I have, this is a lifeline, folks. This is not optional. I will not thrive alone, and I will not thrive with a first-tier friend that doesn't love Jesus Christ with all of his heart. I will not. And Pam and I, you know, you might, well, who do I look for? I wrote a whole book on it. It's called Who's Got Your Back? It's back there at the table. How do I find somebody? What do I do? How do I meet? How do I make it effective? What do we do? How do we make it effective? And how do I fire them? What if I join a small group and I don't like it? Pam and I've done that. Here's what I say. Find a small group where you have chemistry. Find a buddy who loves Jesus. We got chemistry. What does that mean? Man, we just like each other. We'll hang out. We'll play tennis. We'll go golfing. He loves Jesus and he loves the things I love. All right, that's it. It's not rocket science. We joined a small group, Pam and I did. We didn't really feel we connected with anybody. And I said, I love all you guys, but we're going to go find another one. It's that important to us. No harm, no foul. Maybe when you round the bases, you got work to do here. Then we're going to talk about hobbies really quick, and you're going to go on another quick speed date. Develop hobbies that you both enjoy and develop hobbies that stretch each other. I've already talked a little bit about this, the fishing, the hunting. I took Pam, and she does all those things, and I get in her world with antiquing and musicals. And I'm going to finish with this, and then you're going to speed date. Every Thursday night or once a week, Pam wants me to commit to tuning out the world and connecting with her. And so we started doing this years ago. And it's not real formal, but we started playing Yahtzee. And it's not even about the Yahtzee. It's about no TV, no phone. I literally put my phone over there, and we connect. And then we talk. And we'll have a cup of coffee, cup of hot tea. And man, I'm telling you, it lights up her world. And her happiness is my happiness, as you mentioned so greatly this morning. Here's my challenge to you. Here it is. You ready? Find your Yahtzee. Make it fit you. Be intentional. Fight for it. Find hobbies you both like. Do things that stretch you. Like, man, I never thought I'd be antiquing her. Pam's like, you think she woke up one day and goes, I can't wait to go hunting with a guy that I'm going to meet in the future. No. It stretches. Some of our funniest times and our most joyful moments are when we're doing things way out of each other's comfort zone. So here it is. Answer the questions on page 23. You know the drill. Agree, disagree. Round the bases. I'm going to give you 5 minutes on this speed date. And if you just score one time, hallelujah, high five, you got 5 minutes to score. Again, you can slow down and take all your time in the world in the upcoming months and go through this again very slowly. Your speed date begins now.